Had Jesus walked the earth today, the world would be in awe of Him. Yet still, just as uncommitted to Him as they were in the day that He walked. A very good example, still far from Jesus, but a very good example is Mother Teresa, a woman who without any selfishness at all gave her entire life to those who were less fortunate. The world stood in awe of her commitment to her beliefs and yet spent more money on cars than we did helping starving children in India. Had Jesus been on earth today, walking out His ministry headed for Calvary today, it would be Christians, not the Jews or the Muslims, that would put Him on a cross and kill Him. The TV guys would be upset when He hit their cameras with a ball bat and condemned them for their twisting of the Word and the false promises of hope and their false methods of attempts to control God. Jesus, as He stood and He looked out over Jerusalem, would today stand and look out over America and He would cry. He would cry for our playground attitude, our easy gospel, and our "what show are you going to put on today for me to scratch my itching ears?" So we want to believe. We really want to believe that everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," knows Him as Lord. And yet the Scriptures tell us otherwise. So we say, "Well, yeah, I guess the Bible's true, but it's just not true about anybody I know, because everybody I know who says, 'Lord, Lord,' really knows Him as Lord." And my question this morning would be, really? In the most, quote, Christian, end of quote, nation in the world, do we think by any stretch of the imagination that everyone in church today who's saying, "Lord, Lord," really knows Him as Lord? Can we even say, can I even stand before you this morning and say that those in my own family who call Him Lord really know Him as Lord? And the answer is, no, I can't. And the answer is, no, you can't. We're all going to be faked out to one degree or another. "Oh, I can't believe it. I saw Him cast out demons. I saw Him heal the sick. I saw Him do many wonderful works." And yet our ears will ring with the words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Because we love our TV preachers with their manipulation games, with God in our pocket. And if you do this, God is bound to you to do that. God's not bound to me to do anything. From Jesus' resurrection until now, the battles in the body of Christ have always been fought on two fronts. From Jesus' resurrection until the very moment you and I are sitting in, the battles in the body of Christ have been fought in just two arenas, on just two fronts, and in just two areas. They are government and music. Who's going to be in charge? And what kind of music are we going to have? Who's going to be in charge? And what kind of music are we going to have? I put it another way. The two fronts have been fought over power and performance. The wars have always been about power and performance. I even added a third. It's about control and preference. This is the way I want it done, and we should do it my way because I'm in control. The responsibility, though, that you and I have is to remember this and to remember this well. James, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. You are not my problem. I didn't say we don't wrestle. Didn't say that. I said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our wrestling is with principalities and powers. And granted, there is flesh and blood who allows themselves to become puppets under the power of principalities and powers. Granted, but that's not where the war is fought. They came to Jesus. And they said, your cousin's dead. He said, how'd he die? They said they cut his head off. How many of you know that Jesus could have called down 10 million angels out of heaven and consumed Pharaoh just right there down to a bowl of ashes if he wanted to? But can anybody tell me what the next verse says Jesus did go and do? It says, from that moment, Jesus went about casting out demons. Because the war is not with Herod. Oh, there are plenty of Herods who are being used in the war. But the war is not about Herod. The war is with principalities and powers and rulers in high places. Our policy here at Lamplight Church is to always be in an endeavor to try to bring darkness to light. And today, we are not going to focus on the who's. Today, we are not going to focus on the who's. Today, we are not going to focus on the who's. We're going to focus on the what's. There are very few things that bother me more than rumors bother me, which is why so many years ago I came up with this plan to deal with rumors and those who enjoy telling them. When I hear them, I will bring them to you, and I will tell you what's being said, and I will tell you the truth. If I hear them again, and trust me, look me in the eyes. Do I look like to you I'm playing? Trust me, if I hear it a second time, I will tell you who's saying it. I will bring the darkness to the light because the evil hate the light. I fear one thing in this world and one thing only. And that is God Himself. Rumor number one. He's too busy with his family and other job to effectively minister at the church. To that I'd like to say, you need to watch your mouth. I would like to say to that also, you're exactly right. I do not pastor this church the way I would like to. I am not as involved in your lives as I would like to be. I am not able to do the things that I believe I really can do, should do, and ought to do. But I can't live under that. All I can live with is doing the very best that I can. I've been here 9 years. I would have never have believed 9 years ago that 9 years later, I would still be here bivocationally. But I am. But it is not by choice, but it is out of necessity. Because given a choice, and even Mike asked me this when I got my recent promotion at my vocation. Mike said, man, that's going to make leaving that harder if the opportunity the church opens up. And I said, Mike, if they made me the flipping CEO, it wouldn't be a hard decision. Because what makes it hard is when your heart's one place and your body's somewhere else. I know where my heart is. And it's not hard to follow my heart. Granted, the rumor is true. I'm not as effective, not as involved as I would like to be. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I refuse to take my family and nail them to a cross for yours. I don't think God requires that of me. And anyone else who does needs to get saved. And so my priority, what profit a man if he wins his whole church to Jesus and his children go to hell? And so I will never put my family on the cross and sacrifice them over you. That's right. But my job takes me where my job takes me. It requires what it is my job requires, because that's all I can do at this point. Really, the only gift and talent I got is my wit. I don't have an education. I don't have a degree. I don't have initials past my name. There's only a certain amount of things that I can do. And I got to do those things, because the last time I checked, everybody in my house wanted to eat three times a day. But let me say this, unequivocally, there has not been not one person, not one, who's ever asked to speak to me or take a piece of my time who hasn't got it. You ever called me not call you back? You ever called me not call you back? But did I call you and you didn't call me back? Right, that's exactly right. A better answer. That's exactly right. But there's not been a single person who's called me I didn't call back. Not a single person who said, can I have some of your time, who didn't get some of that time. Yeah, I'd love to give you more of it, but I only got so much in a day. And so to the rumor spreaders, let me say, shut up. Second rumor. A few more months, there won't be an LLC. Look at how much it's already gone down. Let me say this. Unless a bush is consumed and a voice speaks to me and says, take your shoes off and close down the charter, there will always be an LLC. It may not meet in this building, but contrary to popular belief, this building is not the church. Amen. And if it has to meet in my den with six of us, it will always be alive. My intentions are to pass it on. Let me just state that right up front. To who? I know that's the question. I don't know. I ain't been told. We ain't there yet. My intentions are to pass the mantle. That's my intention. But let me say this. Success is not measured in numbers of people. Because when Jesus died, there wasn't but three at his feet. And after he was buried, hear my words, and after he was buried, there were no believers. Nobody believed he was going to resurrect. Nobody believed it. There were only three at his feet when he died, and when they buried him, nobody believed. Success is not measured in people. We're not going anywhere. We have a heritage that we are proud of. We have a legacy that we are proud of. And my intentions are to build on that heritage and on that legacy. And let me say this, and it is not my intentions to build a monument and sit down. My intentions are to learn the lessons of the past 40 years and move forward with God. There was something else I wanted to say. Oh. Okay, maybe it'll come to me in a minute. Number three. Oh, I know what it was. A few more months, there won't be a Lamplight Church. Look how much it has already gone down. It has been a pattern and a habit here that every time this church gets ready to take a step forward, a handful of people take a step back. Decide. You stepping forward? Or are you stepping back? Gideon's army. There were some other matters talked about this week, but they have to do with me personally, like not having a Christian enough face page. Do you care? But they have to do with me personally, not with the health and well-being of this fellowship. So I want to tell you a story of what happened. Weeks ago. This is why I asked if you were going to be here today, Keith. Weeks ago, Keith came to me and he gave me a DVD. And he didn't have anything written on it. It was totally blank. There was no label. He hadn't scratched in marker on it to tell me what it was. Keith, I put it in my suitcase, and for the last several weeks it's been all over the country and I haven't seen it. And so Monday, how many of you know there's no such thing as an accident? So Monday, Sunday night, was it Sunday? When did I fly out? Did I fly? Where was I? Okay. Yeah, I did fly. I don't know. Flew out Monday. It all runs together. Monday night, I get to my motel really late, and the internet's not working. So Tuesday, I get there, and my internet's not working. So I call technical support for the motel. The guy tells me we'll have it ready in 15 minutes, then he tells me we'll have it ready in an hour, and then he tells me he doesn't know when we're going to get it ready. Six calls later, it looks like I'm not going to get it, which in my world is big. In your world, it may mean nothing, but in my world, that means everything. Because on the next day when I did get it, I had 54 emails to answer. That's why I have to stay on top of them every day. But Tuesday night, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the church and about all of the little yak-yakkers who want to yak-yak. And all the things that are being said and how I'm going to respond to it. And I start rolling this over my head, and I'm just going to be completely bluntly honest with you. I get myself into a pity party. You know, I work really hard. I try really hard. You know, I try to do what's right. I'm trying to lead us in the right direction. I try to be compassionate and caring. I try. And then I grab hold of myself and I say, self, hush for a minute. Can you control what's going on? No. When you can't control it, let it go. I said, all right, I'm going to take my own advice. So I get up and I walk over to my suitcase and I'm looking for a magazine that I had taken with me. And I found a DVD with no label on it that I had been flying around the country for weeks. I knew where I'd gotten it. Just couldn't remember what was on it. Didn't know what was on it. So I slipped it in. And I started watching. And I saw that video. And then I saw this one. And when the video ended, God spoke to me and He said two words: stay focused. Hence today's message. Stay focused on what's important. You know, the moments that I remember that I am the most proud of my father about are not the moments when we got voted out of the Baptist church, or not the moments when I saw God miraculously supply our needs when we were in such desperate need. They were not the moments when we rode in a car where the floorboard was missing out of the back. They were not the moments when my dad sent me to school without any lunch money because he didn't have any, and a guy showed up at 10 o'clock in the morning and gave him some money, and my dad came to school and gave me lunch money. Those are not the moments I'm the most proud of. I'm not the most proud of Dad having a church over on Moorhead Street. I'm not the most proud of us running at one time 350 to 400 people. I'm not most proud of the moments when we had 20 elders and we had a praise and worship team and things where money was coming out of our yin-yang and we built this building. I'm not most proud of the moment when we burned the mortgage on this building. You want to know the moments I'm most proud of? I'm most proud of him when he stood up to the arrogant, religious, lost people who cared more about power and performance than they did about people. That's when I was most proud. I was most proud when he butted heads with the Baptist Association in Winston-Salem and told them they will not boycott a black church from having a basketball team in our league. I'm most proud when he stood before the school board and said, "You will let my son pray in school or I will sue your butt." And they said, "Let him pray." I'm most proud when he was preaching revival and a drunk did stagger in and everybody began to murmur and it just pissed the red right off his candy and he chewed their rear ends out. That's what I'm most proud of. When he had enough backbone to say to the arrogant and the prideful sitting in their pews with their nice little church clothes on thinking they were all of that, who didn't have time to put their arm around those they looked down their nose at. That's what I'm most proud of. And 20 years from now, 40 years from now, 60 years from now, that's what I want my children and my grandchildren to be most proud of. I stood and I watched my grandfather stand against the ignorance in some people's lives as they chose to be idiots, liars and hypocrites and Christ killers. Because we put him to an open shame when we do not live as he called us to live. August 8th, 2010. Mike stood in this very place, and I quote, "What pastor is endeavoring to create is an atmosphere where men and women, boys and girls, can be who they are. And in being who they are still loved by the church and not judged. Able to be honest about their sin without judgment. And in the midst of that honesty, then they are able to be changed by life in Jesus Christ. That's the process." Turn with me in your Bibles, please, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I will close with these verses. It never ceases to amaze me the criticism I come under for talking about other preachers who preach a false gospel. And yet the criticism I come under is that I'm just busy by those same people who say, "Oh, don't talk about preacher so-and-so and preacher so-and-so. You shouldn't judge." And then they take me and they put themselves in a place of judgment to talk about not what I've said, not that it's heresy, not that it's a lie, not that it's not true, and not that it's not scriptural, but they just don't think that my Facebook page is Christian enough. To begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers and mockers will come in the last days. And bring the fools on with scoffing, people who walk after their own fleshly desires. They will say, where's the promise of His coming? For hence the forefathers fell asleep. All things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. For they willingly overlook and forget this fact, the Amplified says, that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also, which was formed out of the waters and by means of waters, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been shored up and reserved for fire. This world is reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you. Do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy. Nor is He slow about His promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But He is long-suffering and extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. But even in the midst of His patience, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish and pass away with a thunderous clash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of us to be? In the meanwhile, in consecrated and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities. But while you wait and earnestly long for and expect and hasten the coming of the day of the Lord, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire, but we look for a new heaven and a new earth, according to His promise, in which the righteousness, the upright, freedom from sin, and right standing with God is to abide. Verse 17, let me warn you therefore, brethren, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by the error of lawless and wicked persons, and from your own present firm condition, your own steadfastness of mind. But in the meantime, grow in grace and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah, because this is why to Him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. And even so, Lord Jesus, come and deliver us from the ridiculous. The people who called me know that there are things that are being said. I first of all want to say, first of all, thank you for your love and thank you for your loyalty. Loyalty is really big in my book. And I want to say thank you for your love and for your loyalty. But I want to give you in closing just this last suggestion. When people are talking and they're talking to you, be Christian. This is what Christian does. Have you talked to him about that? Well, no. Would you like for me to go with you? Well, no. Then shut up. Don't defend. Don't argue. Don't get involved in the conversation. Be Christian. If you have aught against a brother, go. If you're afraid to go with a brother won't hear you, take one with you. If after that, you are to be treated as a non-believer. For not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for how great you are to us and for your mercy. Father, just as Jesus prayed, we would enter into his prayer and we would say, Father, forgive, for they don't have any idea what they're doing. But Father, we would also ask you to forgive us because most of the time we don't know what we're doing either. So we're not asking you to help one side of the coin and not the other. We're not passing judgment on one side of the coin or the other. We're passing judgment and asking help on both sides of the coin. Father, forgive us, for we know not what it is we're doing. But you know what we do know, Father? We know that you are great. We know that you are gracious. We know that your mercies have been renewed afresh to the entire world today. We know that your grace is sufficient. And so with all of our questions, we forget our questions. We go back to what we know. What I know is this, O God, you and you alone are holy. And I stand before you and worship you in your holiness. I bless you today, O God, for your greatness and your greatness to me through Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.